Well, we're glad to have you here today, and we're going to be talking about leveraging resources produces kingdom work. And so I hope this is a productive time for you. one of the things that, first of all, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Jesse Vasquez, just call me Jesse, and I've been with Cornerstone Assistance Network for 16 years, and before that I worked for the state of Texas for 20 years, and so working for Cornerstone is more fun than working for the state of Texas, and it's a wonderful time. And so Cornerstone has just been a blessing to me, and it's enjoyable, and every day is a great day to show up and go to work. And my test is, am I still having as much fun as I do now that when I started? And the answer is yes. And so that's a good thing. Cornerstone was started back in 1992 in response to gaps in local social services. And it was started by North Richland Hills Baptist Church. And that's when we started a separate nonprofit in Fort Worth. And Cornerstone's purpose is to provide direct service to individuals and families struggling under the burden of poverty. When Mike Doyle was at North Richland Hills Baptist Church, this is what they saw. They saw that people were struggling, and there was not something where people could come in and find the help that they needed. And so then the other part of this was to offer resources to the churches and the community agencies to help them better serve the needy in the community. So then it was coming together to help the needy, and that's why Cornerstone was started. So now, almost 24 years later, we're still at it, and Cornerstone is quite a bit bigger than when Mike and his wife started Cornerstone in his garage, and they started that, and now it's thousands of dollars in our budget, and so it's a very different world that we live in now. What are our funding sources? Cornerstone receives funding from individuals, and we receive funding from churches and foundations. And one of the things about Fort Worth is a great community. And because of that, the local foundations are very generous in helping us do what we do. And this is a great community to live in. You can't have it any better than that when it comes to the kind of support we get from the community. Social enterprises. We generate some money at Cornerstone because we have Cornerstone Catering Service. So if your church wanted to do a catering event, we have a person, and she can do it from a box lunch to a very nice meal. She's been in the business 20 years, and that's a way we can generate some income. And if you want that information, it's my table's down the hall over there. We've got that information. We also have a thrift store. And one of the things about the thrift store, we sell right there at Cornerstone in the community. We have very nice things. But the other part of the thrift store is that we also sell on eBay and Craigslist. So if you ever want to see what we have on eBay and Craigslist, we've got it. Got a lot of nice items there. And the thrift store does very well, but it's a great place. And then, of course, we do have some government funding from some agencies, and that also helps. So as you can see, we work with a lot of different people here in this process. Today we're talking about networking, and I was looking at the dictionary about what networking is. It's the exchange of information or services among individuals, groups, or institutions, specifically the cultivation of productive relationships for employment or business. Or as Mike mentioned this morning, he was talking about the Hudson Institute called it intermediaries. And that's what Cornerstone is. We work with all the different organizations in the community, and we help them. One of the things that we did was we created a whole division on just helping organizations get started, whether it's a church or it's a nonprofit that says, we want to be a nonprofit. Well, we have staff that will sit down and say, tell us what you want to do, and we'll tell you where you're at, and let's see if we can help you get to where you want to be. And so we want to hand out the first group of paper, which, We'll hand that out, and then we'll do the other one. I'm going to give you the information on intermediaries, because I think it's real interesting. A lot of people want to start a nonprofit, and they say, how do you do that? Well, we have people that will show you how to do the intermediaries. The first one is just a slide presentation, and I'm sorry, we forgot to hand it out. And then I'm going to give you the next one on intermediaries, and that's going to be something you can take with you because, yes, because whether you're from here or you're going somewhere else, this gives you an idea of what you need to do or what are some of the steps that you need to look at if you ever want to start a nonprofit or if your church wants to do some things and you're not there. Cornerstone Assistance Network has been around 24 years, almost 24 years, and every year our audits get more and more complex as we get bigger. And we have never had an exception on an audit. And again, we can help organizations get started because we feel very strongly that if we receive a donation, that somebody, that whatever you donate, we want to make sure we are good stewards of that money you give us. And because of that, we have this information for you. And that's so you can get started on the right foot. For example, if you're a nonprofit and you receive money from somebody, let's say it's a foundation or the government, and you want to do a program and you don't do it right according to what they ask you to do, then you can be in real trouble legally. And so that's why Cornerstone created this whole intermediary section where people can work on that. So that's there for you, and I hope that's useful. The Cornerstone mission statement. Now, remember, from all the funding sources, but this is our mission statement, uniting with others in Christian love to meet the needs of people. Uniting with others to meet the needs of people. Okay, here's the thing. This statement is on everything that we do, and we get government funding. Because Cornerstone has been around long enough that the government knows that we have good programs, we know how to administer them, we have the capacity to take care of all the finances, and they come to us and they say, you really need to try this grant. You know, and we do, and we get it. But again, it's something that we work on that, and Mike is very good, and Roddy, our chief operation officer, they're very good about working with this, and the people that are giving us the funding, they understand our mission statement and what we're going to do. And so, uniting with others in Christian love to meet the needs of people. Cornerstone has partners, and I'm the director of network development, and this is part of my job right here. One of the things that we have is we have partners, and they sign memorandums of understanding, which means they agree that they will provide service to the poor. In Tarrant County, we have 94 churches that are partners with us, 71 faith-based organizations, and then 45 organizations. Now, organizations will be, let me give you an example. One of our partners is Children's Protective Services in Dallas and Fort Worth. And you say, how does that work? Well, they wanted to be partners because they knew we could help them with the families that are in trouble. And they went through all kinds of hoops that they had to jump in their own agency for them to agree to be partners with us. And they finally did, and now they're partners with us. So we have some government agencies that become our partners because they know we can provide them the things that they need. And so it's a variety of folks. And the total now is 210 partners. We have 210 partners. Some of them are, a few are outside of Tarrant County, but they're mostly all in Tarrant County.
What's the difference between partner organizations or when partners include the churches, the faith-based?
Yeah,
I think all that adds up to 210.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was doing the math.
Yeah. So we have the faith, the churches, faith-based, and the organizations. And then, of course, the total is 210 partners. So we have a variety of partners. And one of the things about Cornerstone is we're interdenominational. And so I work with all kinds of churches in Tarrant County, all kinds of Christian churches in Tarrant County. And so it's interesting. And it makes it interesting. One of the things that I want to give you now before I get into this partnering projects is one of the things that I do is I send the partners a newsletter every month. And one of the things, again, what we're trying to do is how can we help the partners to do what they're doing? And I'm going to pass out the newsletter, a sample of the newsletter for this month. We're going to have our partner meeting. We have a partner meeting every month, and it's going to be next Thursday. And we're always, I'm always trying to find ways that we can help our partners. What is something that they, the church needs to tell the people that they serve? And may I have one of those, please? Right here on the first page is our partner meeting. And let me just point that out to you. Our partner meeting is going to be helping the poor avoid pitfalls. Our guest speaker is going to be, she's going to show us, she's going to talk about payday lending, how payday lending is hurting the poor. So then the other thing that we're going to have is we're going to have a speaker from VITA, which is a branch of Catholic Charities, on free income tax service for the poor. Payday lending is a tremendous problem with the poor. The people that need this worse, that don't need another problem, are the ones that go to this. But our churches need to have numbers. They need to have information about what they need to do, how they need to talk to people. And you might say, well, you know, this church is a nice church, you know. Nobody's going to go to payday lending. But as you do ministry outside the church, there might be somebody that you run into and you can help them. So we're going to talk about payday lending. The other thing is the VITA, they do free income tax service. Because here's what the poor do. It's time for them to file their income tax, and they rush to somebody to do their income tax, and they pay. And then they say, oh, by the way, we'll let you borrow some money while you wait for your check. And then there's interest there. Where VITA can almost process something just as fast as the other folks can, and it's not going to hurt them. And so how can we help the poor? This is what we're going to show the church. This is how we can help the poor. What did we do last month? Last month we talked about utility assistance and affordable housing. So you see, Cornerstone is always trying to find things that are going to help people, that are going to improve the life of the people that you're ministering to, whether it's in your church or in your community. Church partners. One of our church partners is we're working on a Thanksgiving project. And what they do is we're the ones that will go out and find the turkeys, the food for the Thanksgiving boxes that they have. And then we're going to purchase like 500 and some odd turkeys. So, and we have. And then what they're going to do is they're going to bring a group into Cornerstone one night, and they're going to pack all of this food into boxes. So all these volunteers pack the boxes. So then one day we'll take the turkeys and the boxes to their church, and they're going to give them away. But they also have another organization that they work with, and that organization will also take a bunch of those turkeys and take them to a school, to schools, several schools. Then I'm going to take 100 turkeys, and I'm going to give them to the clients that we serve in the medical clinic, that are in our homeless program. We're going to give away 100 turkeys. So you see, one project. Oh, then we have a group that will come in on a Saturday and give away our turkeys to the people. They'll take them to their cars. We will pray with them. And if they need a Bible, we'll give them a Bible. Then we have another church that said, Jesse, we want to help. So in addition to what we're going to give them in the box, they're going to do some other extra things that can help those families. Thanksgiving Project, 3 churches and are going to be involved in this, in one project. And so this is how you can involve different churches to do different things. And they're all going to be happy doing what they're doing. My church that comes in from Arlington, they come in and pray with people. And they just love to pray with people. after they get their prayer request. And it's just a great experience. But they all will enjoy this. The one group that's going to pack the boxes, they're going to pack boxes. In less than an hour, they will pack the 500 boxes. It's amazing. We have a system set up, and they can pack it. It's amazing how we do all of that. And that's one project that we have. Another one that we have is this little church, Centro de Paz Church. And in Cornerstone, we have computer classes. We have GED in English and Spanish. And so the computer teacher, she does, on Tuesday, she does computer classes. On Thursday, she does a computer lab. But this little church couldn't come those nights. So they said, can we do a computer class in our church? And she said, I'm willing to. Can we borrow Jesse's laptops? I said, you sure can. So she packs up laptops every Saturday, and she has a computer class at this little church. So you see, that's how we're networking together to get something accomplished. So what happened was, this teacher is willing to do all of this, and everybody is happy, and the students love it when we can go to their church and do a computer class. We also have the Angel Tree Prison Ministry. Y'all know what Angel Tree is? You know where you get gifts for children at Christmas time and their parents are in prison? Okay. So we have a church that ministers to these children all year long, not just Christmas. And one of the things that they do is they take the kids to camp in close to Houston. And they load up one or two buses and they take them to camp. But they do it on Sunday, and their church is having Sunday. They're having services on Sunday. So I open the doors on Sunday. The buses come in. The kids come in. We get them registered. We get them lined up. We get them in the buses, and we send them off to camp. So it's the church, it's Angel Tree, and it's Cornerstone working together to accomplish what? A wonderful time for children to get them away from whatever they're living in and get them out to somewhere in Houston, out there, they call it Frontier Camp. And they have a wonderful time. But if we were not working together, we could not provide them that opportunity. And so that's what we've been doing for years with this Angel Tree Prison Ministry. We've been working with them on that. Arlington Church, a church from Arlington, is going to come in and help us do distribution of turkeys and praying with recipients. We're going to do the 100 turkeys, just like I told you. But here's what we do. When we sign up one of our clients, we tell them that they need to give us a $5 deposit for the turkeys. And they give us $5. We give them a receipt. And we say, on this day, you come back. It's a Saturday before Thanksgiving. And they come back and with their little receipt. And then when they get there, we say, okay, can you fill out this little paper and tell us if you have a prayer request? And so they do fill it out. If they say, I don't have anything to write, we say, that's okay, no problem. So then we take them into our intake area, and we make it our counseling area, and that's where their volunteers are. They sit down, and they pray with them. And when they finish praying, they say, oh, and by the way, Cornerstone didn't need the $5. We're giving it back to you. But the $5 got them there. Because we don't have a place for 100 frozen turkeys. And so the Cornerstone gave them the $5 back. Here you go. And some of them will say, oh, thank you. I needed the money for gas. Uh-huh. And so that's what they do. So my volunteers do that. And then the kids, they bring teenagers with them. We say, they're going to take the box and the turkey to your car. No, that's okay. We're going to do it for you. And that we let teenagers take them to the car. We need to teach our children how to be servants. And they take them to the car. Okay, everybody's happy. And my volunteers, because I always say, okay, who's going to pray in the group? You know, we always find everybody just fits in the niche. Okay, who's going to help load up the stuff? Of course, the kids, you know. I can do it. You know, and so this is what we do. So this church comes in, and I called them the other day. I said, okay, I've got a date. And the lady said, okay, Jesse, I'm going to check with my people. And I told her, I said, now, if you can't do it, that's okay, because I'll find another church that can do it. It's not a problem, because you never know about scheduling. You know how churches are. They're busy. But it's about engaging people, and they have fun doing ministry. That's what it's all about. And we need to be creative, whether it's in our church or it's in a nonprofit organization. How are we going to have a meaningful experience for these folks? I'm not talking about busy work. I'm talking about a meaningful experience. Okay? And so that's what these folks do, and they love it. And she said, no. She said, we're going on a mission trip, but you know what, Jesse? I can't come, but I'm gonna check with the church because I know they want to do it again. I said, okay. If not, I'll find another church. It's not a problem. The other thing, we also work with faith-based organizations, and one of the local denominations here in Fort Worth, they meet every week at Cornerstone, and then the pastors bring in a speaker, and the speaker speaks, and they're there from 11:30 to 1, and then Cornerstone Catering does the meal for them. So we provide them a real nice meal. They pay $8, and we feed them a good meal. They have their meeting. They go on their way. The other thing that I do at this meeting is I have lunch with the pastors. And this way, if they have a new pastor that doesn't know about Cornerstone, I'll be happy to visit with them and tell them what we do. And so we do that. So I get to talk to the pastors and see how church went the day before, so on Sunday. But it's interesting. And so that's one way we are involved with them. Then we have the crisis pregnancy centers. We are a partner with all the crisis pregnancy centers. And the reason we are is because I feel very strongly about it, and I seek them out, and I say, I want to be your partner, because if there's something you need, I want to give it to you. Cornerstone wants to give it to you. If there's anything we can help you with, you know, it might be Bibles, it might be baby stuff, whatever it is, we want to help. And so we have made it a point to partner with all the crisis pregnancy centers that are in Tarrant County. Hope Literacy is one of our partners, and Literacy connects us. These folks are, they provide information and resources on adult literacy. This is a real big deal, and this is something that churches really need to think about doing, is how they can provide classes that are going to help individuals with literacy issues. At Cornerstone, you know, we do the GED in English and Spanish. Well, the Spanish one's a real popular one. We have a full house on that. But one of the things is there's all kinds of folks around us, and your church needs to look and say, okay, what can we do? What can we do as a church to provide some of these services for people? And whatever denomination it is, there's going to be somebody. I just walked around the corner over there, and I saw that somebody has all the information here on literacy if you ever want to do all the classes. We need to minister to these folks. You know, people need to learn English. I have Spanish speakers there with me, and here's what I tell them. Yes, you're going to study your GED in Spanish. Yes, you can pass the GED in Spanish. You can do all these things. But after you do that, you need to learn English. Here's why. So that you can get a better job and you can make more money. It's economics. It's economics. And I tell them that in Spanish. You know, God has blessed me. I can speak in tongues. And so, you know, I'm talking about things that make sense. And they understand. They say, yes, Jesse, that you're right. I tell them you need to learn English. And so this thing of literacy is so important. So we partner with Hope Literacy. We partner with Literacy Connexus because we want to have the best information we can about how people can learn another language, how people can learn English if they're speaking other languages. The other thing is World Relief. They are providing services to refugee families. And we're doing a project next Tuesday where we have a church that works with a bunch of refugees. They're coming in, and they're going to sort clothes, put them in a box, label the boxes, and then they're going to take them to the refugees. We're looking for long-sleeve shirts, we're looking for coats, and we're going to take them to the refugees in this apartment complex. Because you see, it's getting ready to turn cold and cool, and so we're going to find some clothes that are appropriate for them. But if that church would send us people, we can put them through our intake process also. But we're going to do a big push to get some long-sleeve winter kind of clothes to these folks. And so that's what we're working on next Tuesday. I've got a bunch of teenagers coming in from that church, and that's what they want to do. And so we're going to put them in our warehouse, and let them go through clothes and find the right ones that whatever the need is and put them in boxes and label it and get it done. You need to get people involved any way you can, because you know what? If you don't, they're going to go look for it somewhere else if your church is not doing it. We also work with Tarrant Literacy Coalition. They're one of our organizations that provides information on adult literacy. They will also tell you who's doing GED in Tarrant County. These are wonderful people, and they just do an outstanding job. Okay, this is what I do also. We partner with Tarrant County Community Service and Restitution and the City of Fort Worth. And guess what we do? We have a place where people can come and they can do their community service. Okay? Now, let me give you an example. Yesterday, the City of Fort Worth, I had a lady that came in and did 80 hours of community service. She finished it yesterday. I did my exit interview with her. And she went on her way with her little paper. She was going to the city municipal court to take her little paper. Guess how much she won't have to pay because she did 80 hours with us? $1,017. And you know what? I said, I am so happy for you. She says, you know what? I didn't have $1,017. But she came and did 80 hours with us, and she's done. She doesn't have to worry about being pulled over and being hauled off to jail because there's a warrant out for her arrest. 80 hours, and she was done. We have a place where if a church says, Jesse, I've got this person that needs to do community service. Where can they go? They can come to us. We also have a contract with the county, the same thing. They send them to us because the other day they sent me a pregnant lady. And she said, nobody wants to take me because I'm pregnant. I said, we do. We're going to find you a sit-down job in the thrift store, and you're going to do something sitting down. And you're going to get it done, and we'll be happy to help you. And life goes on. And that's what we did. If you're having trouble because you have a disability, we'll find you a sit-down job, and then you'll be fine, and you can get this done. But you see, are we ready to be creative? They walk away from agencies that say, no, you're a liability. No, we can't do it. No, that's against the rules. Let us be creative. We are not the government. Let us be creative. God gave us a brain. Let us, you know, this person that left yesterday with her paper with 80 hours, you know how good she felt? She says, Cornerstone. That's where they took care of me. That's where they did it. And then the little pregnant girl, she finished. Got a little belly going. But she did her hours. She went over there and said, here's your piece of paper. I'm done. You see, we got to help people where they're at. This is what we do. And the staff ministers to people as they do what they do. The staff minister to people. I'm so proud of them because I'm the front guy. I get it all set up. But it wouldn't work if we didn't have staff that says, come on, honey, let me show you this. And then they visit with them and they pray with them. They give them Bibles. You know, it's not them and us. We're here to do a job. The other thing is, this is coming up, and this is also out there on the table, the HEB Central Market Feast of Sharing. They have this every year here, and they have it all over the state of Texas. And we work with them on getting all the information out in the community so that people can go eat a turkey dinner at Will Rogers Coliseum. They plan to feed 10,000 people. Here's the thing. Again, it's not the government. It's the wonderful people at HEB stores all over the state of Texas that are doing this. And they will find thousands of volunteers, and they will get it done, and they're going to feed people with dignity. And if you sit there, if you come in right now and you sit there and eat, they say, sir, sit down. We're going to serve you. They bring you the food, and they say, would you like seconds? If you eat the piece of pie the second time, they say, would you like another piece of pie? HEB Stores is going to feed 10,000 people, and they have all kinds of wonderful food. And then at the bottom of the little flyer, they have a bus pass. Anybody can ride the bus in Fort Worth on that day to get there for that event. And they have bands, they have music, they have speakers, they have prizes, they have everything. And they don't care who walks in there. The mayor can walk in and they say, we'll feed you. They are people that serve with dignity. And I know the lady that heads it up, and she goes to one of our local churches, and she's a wonderful person. But you know, it's about, they have the money, they have the heart, and they do it. And so when somebody's doing that, Jesse says, I will help you. I will help you. And I take flyers everywhere I go. I've got them out there. If you're from here and you want to take some, and if you go to San Antonio, it happens there. If you go to Austin, it happens there. If you go to Dallas, it happens there. Why? Because we have a wonderful family of HEB people that do this all over the state of Texas. This is where we need to be. And then they let you as an organization set up your table with information. So it's just wonderful. And then we have the senior employment program. This is where a government program where they train senior citizens that are low income, and they can come in and have training. And we are one of the organizations where they send people to be trained in different areas. Right now I have 5 of these folks that are training at Cornerstone. It's a government organization, but I know the lady. She's a Christian. And we have a wonderful relationship. And I take care of my paperwork. I take care of my timesheets. I make sure I do it right. Why? Because we are Cornerstone. Because we want to be different. Because we're not just going to be shabby about how we do what we do. And I take care of my folks. I take care of my SER people. Because they're low-income senior citizens. And we can provide them a place where they can make a little bit of money. And that's what we do with them. And they're happy doing what they get to do at Cornerstone. We also have the something that's really special, and that's out there too, that information, about Alcon Laboratories, where they provided resources and equipment for a free cataract surgery. We do cataract surgery at Cornerstone. We have a medical clinic, and it's a great medical clinic. But, you know, Mike Doyle, you heard him this morning. Mike said one day, he said, you know, we need to do cataract surgery here. And I thought, oh my, come on. How are we going to pull this one off? But you see, Mike's got the vision. And he worked on it, and he worked on it with Alcon, and he worked on it, and they worked on it, and one door opened, and another door opened, and another one opened, and now we're getting it done. We are doing cataract surgery at Cornerstone. We are the only place that we know of that does free cataract surgery in the United States. In the United States. We thank God for what he's letting us do. But you see, it's way out there. But Mike reached way out there to do what he's doing. That's why he is Mike Doyle and I'm not. You know? And so what we need to do is, you need to remember, okay, where are the opportunities for me? What can I do? You know? This is what the Almighty, the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widows and the fatherless, the alien or the poor. We as a church, we need to be very aware of what we're doing and how we're doing it. If we're not going to do it right, please don't do it. Because it's not going to be a good testimony for your church. It's going to hurt your church. But you need to do it with a lot of love and a lot of kindness. And you need to be ready to step out and say, I can do that. And we want to do it. And we want to do a good job. Whatever it is that you want to do. And how much more time do we have? How much more? We still have plenty of time. How much? Okay. I talked fast. Okay. I want to tell you another resource here. One of the things that I want to tell you about is this book. I bought it. I read it. It's wonderful. It's the eternally focused church, the externally focused church. It gives you a lot of ideas about how you can go and do things in the community. And one of the things that it says here, it says, through witnessing these selfless demonstrations of love and helpful acts of service, people will believe that the church just might have something worth listening to. You see, before we share the gospel, before we share the love of Christ, sometimes we need to show people a little bit about who we are. And that's what this book talks about. If this is Christianity, then I'm interested, she said. It was then and there that I realized our world is still open to a gospel. It can hear and see. So you see, that's what we have to be. Before we can share the gospel and share Jesus' love, we need to invest in some of these folks. And that's what this is all about as we partner with people, that this is what we need to do. Now, how could the church and faith-based organizations in your local community work together to better meet the needs of people? How could the church and faith-based organizations in your community work together to better meet the needs of people? Now, this is where you get to talk. Okay, you heard what we do at Cornerstone, and I can tell you even more stories. But tell me, what are you thinking about doing? What are y'all thinking about doing? Anybody? And where is that at?
Peace Presbyterian in Cary, North Carolina.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, I know a lot of other, we call it parachurch organizations. We're thinking about trying to form some better relationships with them, maybe partner with some organizations. There's other churches that have programs that we were thinking about doing ourselves. Just pushing them up there. They're doing it well. We don't need to do it poorly. So we're thinking about
one of the things that you can look at is if somebody else is doing that, if they're doing a good job there, what can I do? That there's a gap here that I need to fill, and that's something your church can also look at. Because there's other needs. And if you can find another way to help in other needs and work with this church and say, this is what we're going to do and this is what you do and we want to work with you on this. So, yeah, that's what you need to look at. Because a lot of times people say, well, I want to start a food pantry. Well, if you go to 211 and you look up a food pantry and you look it up by zip code, it's going to tell you how many food pantries are in your zip code. So then the question is, church, do you want to do a food pantry if there's already 10 food pantries in your zip code? So then how can you take your resources and use them in a different way? Because they're doing the food pantry. And that's what you need to think about when you're doing a ministry. Look it up on 211, wherever you live, and find out what's going on. Yeah. So the networking thing is very important. And a lot of times, you might have to cross denominational lines. Yeah. As long as you just, as long as everybody's okay and everybody's kind of comfortable with that, you have to kind of feel the water with your church. But the thing is that Kingdom Work doesn't have a church name on it. And we can get a lot done if everybody will kind of take whatever their expertise is and whatever the desire is of that church. Yeah. The other day I had a Bible church come in and they became a new partner. And it's always interesting because churches always have a They have a desire to serve in a certain area. And these guys said, we want to do reentry. You know, the people that are coming out of prison and jail. So I connected them with our reentry program. And I said, call them, talk to them. Let's see what y'all can work that's going to help you. And that's what they were doing. So, yeah, you need to, because reentry, there's a big need for that, you know. Okay, anybody else? Any other thoughts?
Yeah, we kind of have I guess it's a reentry program in healthcare. It's people that get out of the hospital that don't have anybody to take care of them. And when they go home, they have transportation, medication, all these. I would like to be able to be the intermediary. It's actually, we have a nonprofit status. It's called Faith Health Partners.
Mm-hmm.
And recruiting churches to be a part of that would involve them having people volunteer to be a liaison of some sort between the hospital and the church, getting them care and provide coordination and education and different healthcare issues to the church as a part of that. And then for the hospital, it would allow them to have fewer readmissions and outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, pretty big networking challenge to just offer that intermediary, but that's what Cornerstone is doing.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But without somebody coming to us to say we want to do that, going to churches and saying, wouldn't you like to, you know, got to find that fertile ground.
Yeah, it's because churches can tell you we're busy. Okay, I understand. But you need to find, you know, if you can just give us a little bit of you as a church, that'll help us do what we need to do, you know. Because churches can fill up their schedule with all kinds of programs. But this, it's just like this book. It's talking about going outside the church and helping people. And you know, if Christians don't do that, what are we saying? Like this pastor gave the example the other day. He said, you know, what if we went to Texas, to the Cowboy Stadium here, and they pack 80, 90,000 people, and they are just hooping and hollering, and they're ready for the big game, and Tony Romo and his people come in, and they're in a huddle, and everybody's waiting, you know, come on, let's break out, let's get going. And they stay in the huddle, and they stay in the huddle. And they stay in the huddle, and people say, wait a minute, we paid money for a game. And the huddle continues. And the huddle continues. And they never come out. You know, sometimes we in the church stay in the huddle. And we don't come out of the huddle. So, well, I guess you're having good fellowship in the huddle. But you know, there's people out there that are hurting. What are you going to do about them? That's my question. And we need to get out of the huddle and go do. And you might say, but Jesse, what I'm going to do is not that important. It's not, you know, I live in a big world. Every day I show up and I work on my little project. And I'm going to do the best I can. At the end of the day, I go and I report into my wife. And I say, we made it another day. But you know what? I did what I could with what I had and where I was put. I can't give an answer for everybody else, but I can for me. And that's what the church needs to do. What are you going to do as a church? What are you going to do as a church? Anybody else? Yes.
We just started kind of, I guess, the opposite direction of what you're talking about, but a lot of my experience has been with teen moms,
mm-hmm.
and so I have formed a relationship over the years with an apartment manager at a Section 8 apartment complex, and so we just started, a couple of us from our church, like after school, just started going out to the apartment complex on Thursday afternoons, like with our kids, just sort of to be like, hey, we're here and we want to hang out with y'all. And it's like, we've only gone four times, but it's, I mean, been awesome. And it's really just been totally relational up to this point, but obviously we have the expectation that, like, needs will arise and that, you know, we want to help meet those needs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not, like, a specific, I guess, service that we're providing right now. I guess it would be more like a mentor thing within, you know.
Mentoring, it can also turn into tutoring, can't
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the things that's interesting about what's going on out there is one of the hot things is one of the things that we see is we see that schools are desperate for you to come into their school, whether it's mentoring or whether it's tutoring. We also have, like for example, we have the Good News Clubs. We have the beach clubs, Christian clubs that can go into the school and have a program after school. One of our partners, they're in two elementary schools right now, two big elementary schools in Fort Worth, and it's a Christian organization, and they are mentoring kids and they are tutoring kids, and they're using Scripture, and you know what they want to. The school system wants to give them more contracts, more schools. It's amazing what's going on out there. But you see, the schools are desperate. They are desperate for something different, because whatever they're doing, they're up to here with stuff. You know, my wife teaches, and she tells me the stories about what's going on. And, you know, you got to go to this meeting, you got to go to this meeting. And you've got to do this way, and you've got to do, you know, it's hard for teachers. But, you know, if you can go in and minister to the teachers, and that's what this book talks about. If you can go in and minister to the teachers, if you can go in and minister to the janitor, to the lady that works in the cafeteria, if you can go and minister to the kids, they desperately want your help. I mean, the doors are wide open. I don't care what the government says, because these folks are desperate for anything that's going to help them to get the job done.
And that's how this department manager was. I mean, she was more than supportive for us.
Mm-hmm.
It was like any positive influence for these kids, like, y'all come. So we have her full support. There's a pastor that lives there, and then, like, the neighborhood watch
mm-hmm.
president, I guess. And they are just, like, all about it and so supportive. And do y'all do National Night Out here? I guess
yes, uh-huh. Right? Yeah. we do. Wow.
It was awesome. So
do you use teenagers?
None of the teenagers have come.
But the ones that help you?
Oh, that help. Well, none of them have been able to come.
Okay.
It's still kind of, there's probably only 5 or 6 families from the church that have actually come.
Okay.
So trying to continue to, like, show them pictures and, you know, like, try to get them to come with us. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our church did, we do this once a year where we go out in the community. And last Sunday we did Love Loud. That's what we call it at our church, Love Loud. And they do the T-shirts and all this. And they will go to, like, they go and do landscaping at their local schools. They'll do things for the teachers. They do things for the firemen. Like, they'll take cookies to the firemen, to the police station. In our bus ministry, they sent a gift card to all the families that ride the buses. So we do a lot of different things in Love Loud. But the thing is, what's important is that you're involving people in the community. You're getting them out there in the community. And that's just so, so important that you do that. We've got to do those things. Okay, any other comments? Yes.
I'm part of a new church plant in kind of the center city of Fort Worth.
Uh-huh.
And so we're just brand new, you know, we've only met like 7 times or something, but we're trying to get to know the other churches.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we just got together to pray about what's going on in our little area, then needs would come up, and someone would say, well, we've got a garage, well, we've got a this, we've got a that. You know, so sometimes I think getting together to pray is helpful. And then also, if we got together, you know, sometimes you can feel like you're competing churches with each other. members or whatever, and to kind of let go of that paradigm and think instead that you're cooperating, mm-hmm. And maybe get together and have people from the local schools or whatever let you know as a group of churches of various denominations what the needs are right yeah. there. I think it's interesting too because there's a theology of place that seems to be, you know, capturing hearts, not like, oh, God has actually put us in this place and he wants us to do something in this place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess we've always thought that, but maybe not the way it seems to be blossoming right now. Anyway, but just to encourage each other.
Because if you say, let's just get together to pray, that's pretty non-threatening, you know. But like over there in that area, one of our partners is Seven City Church. Yeah, yeah. And so, but again, by zip code, I can tell you who the partners are with Cornerstone in that area. And I think it'd be, yeah, I think it'd be a great idea to sit down and say, pray. Once everybody starts to feel comfortable with each other, then they can start saying, we can do ministry. You know, but I think a place to start is prayer, because then you're praying and you're doing the right thing. And God's gonna touch the hearts. God's gonna work in these lives. But you can start with prayer. You can't go wrong right there. But yeah, Seven Cities is a nice church too. And so yeah, you're right there. That's an amazing population out there. It is huge. Huge and growing. Oh my. How fast can we build stuff? We need more. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's all these because Seven City will tell you that their people are like 30 and under. That's their church. It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay. Anybody else? Any other comments? Anything else? Okay. What? Sure. Yeah, go ahead. Questions?
I've got a few. I guess the first I'll ask is, has Cornerstone been replicated elsewhere? Have people approached you about replicating the concept of Cornerstone in other cities and communities?
Mm-hmm. We have affiliates. They take some of the things that we have and they use them. We have one on the other side of Denton that they're doing that. We have a Cornerstone in Tulsa. We have one in Tyler. We have one, they're trying to start one in Waco. Yes, that's been done. They'll take some of the ideas. Some of them take the name, some of them don't. They're just affiliates. And this is where we as an intermediary, we come and we talk about what they can do and how they can do it. We even have one we're working on one in the Valley, a very poor community, and that we're working on that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Yes?
It's true that, you know, a lot of times a need comes in and someone calls a church, and the phone call just, I mean, no one really knows what to do with that call.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that doesn't really fit into a certain area, it just sort of gets dismissed, like as he was saying, we don't do that.
You know? Right.
It'd be great if churches had a point person to take those kinds of calls, even if it's not something you're doing. That person is aware. They could be a staff person, they could be a lay person, but they're just trained by somebody like you
yeah.
to know what's going on, mm-hmm. or you know, just I mean, we have Steve Fultz. We're blessed, but not every church has that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that like here in this church, the one that does that is Adrian here. Okay, if you were to call Adrian and you say, okay, Adrian, this is the deal, this is what I need. Okay, Adrian will have the answer. If Adrian doesn't have the answer, excuse me, he can email me or he can call me or he can email Danielle, who is our intake specialist, and then we would provide him the information that he needs in whatever area he needs it, because Danielle captures that information every day and has current information on what's out there in the community. And so that's how we would handle that. But see, here's the thing. I tell my partners, the churches, when they become a partner of Cornerstone, I tell them, here it is. What I want to do is I want to bring you resources. It's like if you go to that table out there, you'll see all kinds of resources. But then here's the thing. I can take that same table and I can go to your lobby or wherever on a Sunday and I can talk to people about what we provide. then your folks can learn about this, and then when they learn, they become a resource, and your church then becomes a resource. See, the church, you are there to take care of the spiritual things. You are the church. But you can also, in here, if you were here, you can also become a resource to the community. And they say, you know, that's a nice church. They got a nice pastor. But you know what? The other day I went to talk to Adrian. And I said, Adrian, this is what I need. And Adrian said, I've got this information for you. And then they say, I like that church. Because not only do they have a nice pastor, they have a nice church, but they have information that helps people. You see, you want to become, you want to be the church spiritually, but you also want to be a resource center for your community. And if you do that enough, the word gets out. I promise you, things are going to happen. And you're going to have to be ready to spring up some new ministries or do something. But things are going to happen. But then Adrian, if Adrian says, I got too much going on, I'm going to call Jesse and see how we can take care of this, then that's where we come in behind Adrian. We will never be the church. The church is whoever is our partner as the church. Cornerstone is not a church. Cornerstone is there to help the church. We will never step in front of the church. No, that's not our role. Our role is to stand by the church, behind the church. The church is the one that's supposed to do it. You see, the hope for this world is the church and the gospel that it preaches. It is not Cornerstone. We're just a resource for the church. And that's what we need to be. You know, so any other questions or comments? Yes, sir.
I'm curious if you could talk a little bit more about how you all interact with organizations that are not faith-based. Like you talked about that HEB meal thing.
Yeah.
And that seems to me, and I could be mistaken, but something really that they're kind of behind. How exactly, in that case or in other cases, do you come alongside them? And then how, as a faith-based organization, do you have to tone that down a little bit? Or how does that work?
Well, what it is the relationship is that I know Sandra, who does this, and she'll email me and say, Jesse, we're having our breakfast to introduce the thing for this year. And when we show up, she has our 1,500 flyers that she gave me to hand out. But it is not a Christian event. It is a community event. Where you come in is when you set up your booth, you're going to set up your booth, and if you want to give away Bibles, you can give away Bibles. So you have your little world that you can introduce to whoever when they come through there. But it is a community event. So, but again, these are people that are Christians. You've got the HEB folks that are Christians. They're not going to say, no, can't bring those Bibles in here. No. But at the same time, you also have to understand what the event is. And the event is a community event. But, you know, there's all kinds of good things happening. It's a very positive experience. Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. One of the things that always... Think about that opportunity. Think about that opportunity on how you can serve your community. I tell you, the needs are tremendous. But then, what's your niche in the needs as you see all these needs? What are you going to do to make it happen? And that's what you have to work on. There's so many ways that you can get in the community. Like I said, the children's programs, tremendous opportunity to go out there and do things with children at schools. You go talk to the principal and say, you know what, I have this idea. What if we did this for you? Or what if we bring cookies for the teachers for this day? And they'll say, yeah. And we can write a little thank you note to the teachers for being such nice people. But you have to remember, I mean, my wife teaches at a school where there's 700 kids. So you saying you're going to do cookies for the teachers and you're going to write notes for the teachers, that's a big project. But that's okay. You know, they'll say, wow, they're nice folks. You know, and then other things will come from it. But you have to invest in that principal. You have to invest in those teachers. And then other things will come. Then they'll say, you know what? We're trying to do this. Could y'all help us with that? We're having this event. Our partners will always call us and say, Jesse, we're having this event at our church, or we're having this event at our whatever. And I send Danielle an email. I say, Danielle, this is what they're needing. If you see any of this, can you get it together, and we'll give them a call, and they can come pick it up. And they do. And that's what we do. The other thing we also do for little churches is we also do, we have so much stuff that we get donated that we can set up a whole truckloads full of stuff for a little church to do a garage sale. And we give them stuff for a garage sale. And then they go out and have a garage sale. We only have one rule on garage sales. Don't bring it back. You know, don't bring it back. You keep it, you give it away, you do. But if it's a little church and they need to raise money, we want to do this for them. You know, or the other thing is I get paint from Walmart, you know, paint that doesn't match. And I get it. Well, we sell it at our thrift store. But if you're a church and you say, Jesse, I've got a paint project. I need paint. Okay, how much do you need? I'll give it to you. I have it in 5-gallon cans. I have it in 1-gallon cans. I have it in quarts. And I have all kinds of colors. I'll give it to you. Why? Because you're the church. And I tell especially the little churches, I tell them, look, you don't need to buy paint. Come to me. I'll give it to you. Because I want you to take that money you're going to use for the paint, and I want you to use it for ministry. For ministry. Okay, a little church, they finally scrape up enough money to hire a youth minister. Jesse, we need a desk. We need a computer. We need a chair. Do you have that? Oh, yeah, come on down. Let's check it out. Let's see if we do. Bring your truck, and if we do, you load it up, you take it with you. A little church that didn't have to go buy that stuff and use money that they can use for ministry.
Interesting how you're giving back to the church.
Always. Yeah. Yeah, always. Because, you see, here's the thing. God sends us a river that's flowing with these blessings. We cannot dam up that river of blessings. We've got to give it away, because if we don't, God's going to say, oh, Cornerstone doesn't know how to use that stuff. I guess I'll go somewhere else and bless them with this river of blessings that's coming down the path. You see? And to me is, how fast can I get rid of it? Because I got more coming. I mean, I promise you, I've got more coming. As sure as you and I are standing here, I've got more coming. And when I can help that pastor with that piece of furniture, when I can help him with a bookshelf, when I can help him with a gallon of paint, there's more coming. As soon as I get it out the door, somebody else is going to give me more. We as Christians, we need to be bold about who we are. I love to be bold because it's not about Jesse. It's about God's stuff. And we need to be bold about what God has for us. And I know that sometimes you might be in a small church and the resources are limited, but you need to look around and say, okay, if I need this, what if I go to that furniture store and I say, you know what, do you have something that's kind of dinged up a little bit and you could donate to the church? I'll be happy to give you a receipt for you for your income tax. What have you got to lose? Nothing. You've got to, you know. The other thing about, I always want to tell churches about volunteers real quick, is this. What do you need? Do you need people to help you? Do you need volunteers? Here's what you do. You need to tell people what the needs are in the church. You need to say, you know what, folks? We need some folks to go take care of babies in the nursery. And this is how many I need. I don't want y'all to run up here and volunteer today. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to pray. Go home and pray. But you know what? Sister Mary over here, she has 5 jobs already, and we don't need to give her one more. Some of you are sitting out here, and you're not doing something right now for different reasons. Maybe it's time for you to do something. But don't volunteer today, please. Don't come and volunteer. I want you to go home and pray. And then we're going to talk about this next week. And you know what? God might lead me to somebody I need to go talk to. Meanwhile. But I want y'all to go home and pray. People will never know if you don't tell them what you need. And then you need to say, this is a spiritual thing. You need to do something. We all need to do something. Because we are the body. And we're not all eyes, we're not all feet, we're not all hands, we're the body. The body has many parts. And you're a part of this church, and we need to mobilize all these parts of the body. And that's all I need. But y'all need to be praying. And then let's see what we can do. Because God has something great for us to do. We need to go do it. And this is how I talk to the church. Because when I go visit a church, hey, I'm leaving. You know, I'm leaving. You know, I love it. Great to be here. But if you have any questions, call me. But isn't that the truth? Don't we need to talk to the church about, we need to talk about what our needs are. This is family. We need to talk about what we need, and then we need to go do it because the need is great. You know, so. But anyway, here's the other thing. Back there is a pad of paper. And back there are some newsletters. It's an old newsletter, but I have the brand new one just came out. If you would like for us to mail you a Cornerstone newsletter, you can just put your name, and we'll mail you a Cornerstone newsletter. If you want anything by email, you can put your email there, and we'll send it to you too. But the important thing is, if there's any way we can help you, you have the information on intermediaries and what we can do with that. You have, and again, Mike is an amazing person. Because he has helped a lot of people start a lot of ministries. Mike has a lot of wonderful answers. He has a lot of wisdom. And if you ever need to talk to Mike or talk to Dale, Dale is over the intermediary division, you can talk to Dale, people with a lot of experience, and they're wonderful people. You know, Cornerstone has been blessed. We have a lot of things to be grateful about because we have a lot of good things happening that are just wonderful. But we want to be faithful to our mission. And our mission is not to be the church. Our mission is to work with the church. Our mission is to help the church. But we are not there to be the church. Because on Sunday morning, I go to my church. I go to my church. And if you invite me, I come to your church. But I'm going to be a church. Because that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm a part of the body. On Sunday, I'm a part of the body. During the week, I'm there to help the body in any way that I can. And that's what we do. And, you know, it's just a blessing to get to do that. I'm here if you have any other questions. But it's just a privilege, and I hope you got something out of this. I hope it was worth your time because we're here to help. Just like what Mike said, what I say. We drank the Kool-Aid, and we love what we do. And we never get tired of doing that. So, thank you.